Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here as we turn our attention to golf. Golf is a favorite pastime for myself and many other Wisconsin residents. Probably somewhere around 10% of the population plays golf, if I'm not mistaken, here in the state. Of course, it creates a lot of income for our state's economy. And I wanted to talk about that today with Rob Jansen. We'll talk money and we'll talk golf with him. Rob's the executive director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. He has a new economic impact study to talk about with us. And I hope you'll join in. How much do you golf? What courses do you and your friends play? Questions about the status of golf? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Rob Jansen, welcome. Thanks for joining in today. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Good to be back in Madison.
Yeah, let's talk about the Wisconsin State Golf Association to begin with. What's the organization all about?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit. Our mission is to promote golf in the state, so that encompasses a lot of different things. Primarily, we run golf tournaments for golfers of all abilities in all parts of the state. We also provide individual golfing memberships for people interested in receiving golf benefits and getting a golf handicap index, which allows them to play and compete against family, friends, and competitions that kind of level the playing field based on your ability. One of the very unique and fun things about the game. So if it's about promoting golf, then it's something we're about and happy to do and support and get more people playing golf and out and about.
Well, you're part of, I guess you're one of several organizations that comprise the Wisconsin Golf Alliance. And there's maybe explain that, and then we'll talk about the study that came out of it.
Yeah, a lot of great golf associations in the state doing things to support the game. We share offices in Milwaukee with several of them, including the Wisconsin PGA, the First Tee of Southeast Wisconsin, the golf course owners, and there's other allied associations throughout the state, and we frequently come together to talk about ways we can promote and improve the game in the state. And one thing most recently we came together to do was an updated economic impact study. We think we're doing good things to support and promote the game, but we wanted to kind of quantify the impact and growth that golf has experienced since last time we did one.
Yeah, and I was so a bit surprised when I saw the value, economic impact in the state.
It's a big number. We're talking billions of dollars in impact, a direct impact of over $3.3 billion. When you include the kind of trickle-down effect of the game, that number balloons to over $6 billion in total impact and 56,000 jobs that the game supports or impacts in some way. So whether you play golf or not, golf does great things for the state, and chances are somebody you know plays the game, works in the game, or is touched by the game positively in some way.
I was looking at some figure. It was like more impact than the alcohol industry or some aspect of it, and all the Packer home games combined.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you compare it to certain things, it's, exciting in a way to know, like, the impact that the game has on the state, and especially looking at other things I love, it doesn't get much better than a Packers home game, and we know a lot of people travel and have Lambeau Field on their bucket list, and that's a huge impact as well, but golf's even bigger than a lot of more well-known industries, potentially.
I know people are going to say, how is that possible? How is that possible? Explain.
Yeah, I mean, it's Wisconsin has over 500 golf courses all throughout the state. People are playing golf in record numbers. Wisconsin is fortunate to have some of the best public golf anywhere in the country and anywhere in the world. So the tourism impact of the game has been growing as more courses have been built and developed, especially looking at the kind of Sand Valley Golf Resort in the central part of the state and growth and additions at other properties. So you look at the number of courses we have and the number of people playing the game and Wisconsin really becoming what I think is the number one public golf destination in the country, and it all adds up to a pretty big impact.
And there, and that's another study or another report, I'm thinking back, that Wisconsin was rated right up on the top when it came to, you know, if you were looking for places with quality courses.
Yeah, it's one thing for, you know, me to come out and say Wisconsin's the best state for public golf in the country. It's another thing when Golf Digest and other leading publications say it. So, you know, I'm a little biased, and rightfully so, but it's good to see others recognizing the great golf that we have and helping us get the word out.
So you said 56,000 jobs, something
yep.
like that? So that, what's the wages on that, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the wage impact alone, I think, is $2 billion. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of it's jobs. You know, that's a big part of the industry and providing employment for people that are working in the game. And, you know, it's not just golf courses. It's other, you know, industries and areas that, you know, golf helps kind of lift up and, you know, promote, where people are eating and staying and getting gas and, you know, all the things that that golfers do when they come to the state or travel around the state if they live here.
And there's got to be, in terms of taxes, the tax base on that would be, what, $400 million, I would think?
Yeah, I think in the report, $288 million, if my numbers are correct and my memory serves me. But, yeah, pretty sure $288 million in kind of state and local tax revenue.
Is the popularity of golfing increasing?
Yes, absolutely. It's continued to rise. On-course participation is pretty much at record levels back to the kind of early 2000, what they call the Tiger boom, when Tiger Woods burst onto the scene and brought a lot of new people into the game for the first time. And that's really expanded. You know, the newest phenomenon in golf is off-course participation, people participating in the game at driving ranges, entertainment venues, indoor simulator facilities. That's really become kind of an on-ramp for people playing the game outdoors in the more traditional way on a green grass course. So you had all these different segments of the industry up, and it's led to, you know, record participation in the game when you add up on course and off course to numbers that just keep growing and growing every year.
When I was at one point, I was chairman of the University Ridge Golf Course Committee at the University of Wisconsin. I chaired that committee for 6 years, something like that. And one of the things that we focused on, or tried to focus on, when I was there, was the environment. And I'm wondering, because that's one of the things I hear a lot. If somebody's going to complain, they'll say, "Well, what the natural resources of, you know, the pesticides, the herbicides, and all of that, water use, all comes into play as reasons why people might say, you know, these golf courses are wasting our environment." We got involved with the Audubon Cooperative Sanctuary and their standards.
Yeah, I would just say it might surprise some people, but the industry cares deeply about the environment and being good stewards of the land and taking great care and, you know, what, you know, what they're doing at their facility. I think we have a great example right here in Madison of the Glen Golf Park that was kind of revitalized through some funding from Michael Kaiser, who is the developer up at Sand Valley and done so many great things for golf in the state. But, you know, that was a project in a way he was able to give back. And I know with that project specifically, they drastically increased the native areas and kind of the animal habitats on the, you know, footprint of the land. And not only did they do that, but usage of the golf course is dramatically up because of the improvements they've made. And it's really turned into a community hub and community asset. Non-golfers are welcome to come out. Lots of events and, you know, family-friendly activities that they do out there. So, you know, and there's so many more examples like that of, you know, great things that golf courses and the golf industry are doing for the environment.
I think Michael Kaiser's going to do that, something similar with Odana Golf Course in Madison.
Yeah, no, very excited about that project as well. And, yeah, I think just anytime we're able to upgrade and invest in our municipal golf courses, you know, that's just a great benefit to the community, especially when, you know, they're not on the hook to pay for it.
Especially when they're not on the hook to pay for it. Rob Jensen, our guest today, Rob's executive director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. Questions for him or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here talking with Rob Jensen, Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association, talking golf in our state. And question, comment, experience, give a call at 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Tomorrow on the show, well, because Jill Nadeau and I will be in Eau Claire tonight for our talk at the Pablo Center, I wouldn't make it back in time tomorrow to do the show. So we're revisiting a conversation. That's how we put it, about when the grass isn't greener is one topic, and then we're going to take a look at the energy potential of biofuels. That's tomorrow on the show. But right now we're talking golf. And again, join in with your own questions or comments as we move along today, talking with Rob. How many acres? Do you know how many acres in the state are in golf courses?
Off the top of my head, not really, no. I know it's a big number. I'm pretty sure it was in the report somewhere, but that's not not one I have saved to memory.
Okay. Michael emailed to ask if the statewide golfing report includes mention of external costs associated with golfing, greenhouse gas emissions, habitat destruction, and runoff of fertilizers, herbicides, and pesticides. How much are these costs? Were they subtracted from the benefits? And the cost, well, it gives you a chance to comment on several things here relating to habitat, herbicide, fertilizer runoff, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I would recommend people check out the best management practices guide that that we put out that, you know, really talks about all the efforts the industry makes. You know, regarding a lot of things that that you just mentioned, and ways to, you know, mitigate and reduce the impact of you know, of some of those items. So yeah, the industry's certainly aware, and like I said, takes great care, and you know, has a lot of passion and improving what they're doing, and improving, you know, the natural, you know, habitats that the golf courses are, and you know, maintaining that green space, and you know, doing a good job with it.
What are the, somebody else is wondering about the positions or the kinds of jobs that are available on a golf course, and kind of what are the sort of pay scales that you might expect? So, and there's different kinds of opportunities. It's not just being the golf pro.
Yeah, no, lots of, you know, great ways to, you know, work in the game and make a living. I think it really starts even at a young age. I think youth caddying is one of the best first jobs out there for kids to, you know, be on the golf course and, you know, be out, you know, carrying clubs and, you know, being outside, getting exercise and interacting with adults in a lot of cases that, you know, can be, you know, mentors to them and, you know, get to know them a little bit. And, you know, it's a pathway to a potential golf scholarship through the Evans Scholar Foundation for caddies who, you know, really are kind of invested and, you know, doing a great job and getting a lot of caddy rounds in. So I think it starts, caddying is a, you know, a great first job for, mm-hmm. for any kid out there. But then, yeah, at the golf course, you have the, you know, golf course maintenance side, those taking care and maintaining the golf course. You have the pro shop side of, you know, kind of managing the tee times and selling merchandise, PGA golf professionals giving lessons and helping people learn the game and improve at the game and enjoy the game more. A lot of golf courses also have food and beverage operations. So, you know, you have servers and beverage carts and, you know, other golf retail operations outside of golf courses. So, yeah, I think a lot of...
A lot of different jobs.
A lot of different ways that somebody could get started and make golf a career for sure.
George emailed, he's interested in the new Top Golf facility that's being built in Monona, close by here. Do these facilities encourage more golfing, or are they a substitute for getting out on a real course, is his question, I guess. I mean, maybe talk about what that, if you know anything about the Top Golf facility.
Yeah, I drove by it on my way here from Milwaukee, so further along than I thought. The construction of the multi-level kind of driving range bays, you know, looks mostly complete. They've got kind of the netting structure, you know, in place and, you know, some of those, you know, large poles that that it takes to keep balls confined in there. So, yeah, I think construction there is coming along nicely. Excited to check it out when it's done. But to answer the question, yeah, a lot of times that's kind of an on-ramp to the game for people where they, you know, come out, you know, mainly for the entertainment. And golf is just something they're doing while they eat and hang out with friends and socialize, you know, watch sports on TV. But a lot of people through doing that realize, hey, this is fun. I want to come back. I want to, you know, try, you know, playing golf on a, you know, green grass golf course. It's fun to hit balls, you know, at Top Golf, but I want the full experience. So the data certainly suggests that it's bringing more people into the game and, you know, turning them into, you know, green grass golfers, I would say.
Yeah, I was in Atlanta for a get together with some family, and we went to one of the facilities in Atlanta, and it turned out to be a lot of fun because you can make up little games you can play, and they're fun and they're social, and you can sit there and eat if you want to have a beverage, you can, and pretty safe venue.
Yeah, yeah, family friendly too. So, yeah, I think you know, people will enjoy having that in their community when that's done.
We have how many courses do we have? I was trying to think. It was 500 and something, right?
500 courses. Yep.
500 courses. How do we compare to other states when it comes to that?
We're in the top 10 nationally in number of courses, which is a surprise to a lot of people given our climate in Wisconsin and the fact that we're not playing golf year round. But I think it's just really a testament to the passionate golf base we have in Wisconsin and how much people love their golf when the weather permits and, you know, people getting outside to play. And, you know, most of those are public access. So we also rank, you know, really high in, you know, public access golf. And it's not just the nationally ranked and much talked about destination type courses, but, you know, it's the municipal courses and all the other great public courses all throughout the state and in people's communities.
I'm wondering, you know, I was thinking about the cost of golf in terms of playing, and I don't find it unreasonable. I mean, if you've got a municipal course, I get together with friends, and there's a time slot where we've got just like 3 hours or so we'll just go play nine holes And you're done in 2 hours or so, a little 2 hours maybe and change, depending on who's in front of you on the course. And you sit down afterwards and have a drink and talk and discuss things. And maybe you've spent $25, I think, is, or $24 is the cost of that round of nine. And under around $50, I would guess, at most municipal courses, at least the ones in Madison area, would be for 18.
Yeah, no, I think golf, especially in Wisconsin, I would say is very affordable, depending on what you're looking for. And again, it offers something for, I think, regardless of what the golfer's looking for, Wisconsin has something to offer them. 55% of our public courses have a rate of under $50. You know, you look at, and that's for 18 holes.
That's
you look
18.
At 9 holes, you're talking, you know, an even even lower rate. I think the national average for a public round of golf is $48 for 18 holes, and Wisconsin is exactly on that national average. So, yeah, when you look at the number of hours of enjoyment you're getting, I think it's a pretty good bang for your buck, plus all the great health benefits you're getting as well.
Yeah, I've always thought about it. You know, if I play one of the courses around Madison here for 18 holes, or anywhere for that matter, we usually walk. So that's about a 6 mile walk, roughly, swinging clubs, and you know, probably at least 100 times when you're with practice swings, even more, of course. That's a pretty good piece of exercise.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, golf's a sport you can play for a lifetime. You can play from, you know, when you're a young kid, you know, on through your entire life. So that's not something a lot of sports and activities can offer. So, you know, certainly one of the best and most unique benefits of the game, I would say. But I love to walk when I play. I like to carry my bag. I don't even like to use a push cart just for the added challenge of lugging those clubs around. And, yeah, sometimes my step count is higher than others because I might be doing a little more crisscrossing back and forth through the fairway, tracking down some errant shots than some. But I'm working on it.
Well, I've given up on carrying the bag. I use a cart, a push cart, and
push carts are great too. So, yeah, it's good to see whether it's carrying your bag or using a push cart. I just love seeing people, you know, walking, enjoying a round of golf. But you get a lot of steps riding in a golf cart too. You know, I've kept kind of my phone or trackers on me, and 18 hole rounds where I've ridden in a golf cart, and you're still doing a lot of walking and getting a good bit of exercise.
Yeah, I think so. So what's your favorite course in Wisconsin to play?
I love them all, Larry. You know, it's too hard to pick a favorite. You know, it's like asking me to pick my favorite kid. I only have two choices, but I would say they're all a tie. So, yeah, I mean, I love getting out and playing. There's so many great courses. You know, all the highly ranked ones that have hosted some of the big time events are always a ton of fun to play and a real treat. But I can have just as much fun, you know, at some of the public courses close to my house, or, you know, some of the great municipal golf that Milwaukee and Madison have to offer. So I've never had a bad day on the golf course. Let's put it that way.
I don't think I have either. And I played all the Whistling, you know, all those courses. But I have just as much fun at the Monona Muni here in Madison.
Yep.
with friends. And it's just a nice walk.
I will say I am fortunate to have two holes in one. So Erin Hills and Mammoth Dunes kind of hold a little bit of a special place in my heart. It was the 16th hole at both courses. So a really special memory at both of those places. So get a little extra excited when I go to Erin Hills or Mammoth Dunes.
Well, I had one last November 7th. I got my first one at Odana on 170-yard par three, of course, 170-yarder. And I was happy.
How about
first
that?
First one ever.
Congratulations.
For somebody over 80, I felt pretty good about it.
Well, we do hole-in-one certificates, so I'll have to get your information and send you the official WSGA hole-in-one recognition.
Rob, thanks. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks, Larry.
For being with us. Rob Jansen, Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. Pleasure to talk with him, and a pleasure to have you listening in today. And a big thanks to our whole team, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. And again, I'm Larry Mueller, and thanks for listening and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.